Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Here's second and three. The Lions driving already at the Cowboys 17. Straight eye formation behind Goff. Handoff Montgomery starts left. Huge hole up the middle. Sheds a tackle. Struggling at the five. Near the goal line. Touchdown.
Listen to that lion roar in Arlington. Good morning, Metroplex. Morning. Sean, RJ, and Bobby Belt, our Cowboys insider, back from AT&T Stadium. Some people did not pick up the sarcasm in me tweeting out. It does not appear that the run defense is fixed. 184 yards on the ground. I did feel a little good for David Montgomery because on Friday we played the clip that he was considering suicide because of the fantasy football hate that he was getting from fans over the years. He got rewarded with a 2-year extension just a short time ago. He put up the numbers. Everyone who carried the football put up the numbers. They averaged, Kevin Burkhardt couldn't even get the stat out without almost laughing. They averaged 10.3 yards a play.
Wow. They're the Ashton Gentry of the NFL.
Not a pass, a play. Good reference. 10.3 a play for 482 yards and zero punts.
You know what, though? They did a really nice job containing Jared Goff's running. Okay, he only had 5 yards.
Was not able to beat you with his legs.
He really wasn't. So I think you got to put that in the window.
How many times have we said, like, the quarterback and the way they beat the Cowboys defense with their legs, like, you didn't let that happen yesterday. Right. David Montgomery, 12 carries. He had 10 missed tackles forced. That was an 83% rate of missed tackles forced. It's the highest that we've seen in the NFL this season.
Oh, I put up the poll question. Do you think McCarthy coaches after the bye week? They have the bye, then they have the boogeyman.
Has he been coaching so far?
5,000 votes at 105.3 SS. Follow me on X. I'll follow you back. 85% agreeing with me that Jerry does nothing about McCarthy before the San Francisco game. 15% obviously saying something is going to be done. Last night, after the game, the follow-up question was asked to Jerry after he said he's not considering a change. How many of these losses are on Mike?
Well, we're disappointed that we're 3-3. I don't blame at all on being the three loss side of it. I don't necessarily totally blame on McCarthy. The players will tell you they had something to do with it, too, as other part of the staff will tell you, and the owner sure will tell you he had something to do with it. Okay, so it's not all on him.
And nice. I don't think it is all on him. But Jerry Jones will join us tomorrow at 8:30. But Mike is not good enough to fix this and overcome. I don't believe.
The biggest problem is just one of Mike's biggest things that he's going to be responsible for is the preparation. Like when Dak's in the post game last night talking about the way he prepares, it's like that's the selling point that you're trying to say he needs to be here. Because if you look at the last seven, eight games you've played, whatever it is, like that has been one of the worst attributes that this team has, is their preparation looks awful.
I mean, look at the team ahead on the other side. I mean, Dan doesn't coach a side of the ball. He's a walk around.
But he has a team prepared.
But they are very prepared.
Dak on why he believes McCarthy's still the guy, quote, the man he is, the preparation he puts into this, the leader he is. I'll go to war for that guy, and with that guy, I'll follow him. Dak added, he's not the only one in the locker room who believes that. Let me get my opinion out of the way before we get to the Tolos. I don't believe they should fire McCarthy today. And who are you going to go to?
What do you want? What do you want to achieve with your interim hire? Do you want to interview somebody, basically? Do you want to use it as a job interview? You put Al Harris in there. Do you want to use it as, I'm just trying to get through the season? You put Schottenheimer or Bones in there. If it's like...
Because I'm not promoting Mike Zimmer.
No, he doesn't deserve it. And, like, you know, the other thing is, we've seen this, you know, teams will put somebody to the interim And they say it's a job. They never wind up hiring that guy anyway.
No, I mean, some guys did. Antonio Pierce got hired that way.
So him,
Jason Garrett got hired that way. So I'm saying if you
Garrett was going to get hired anyway.
If you were just wanting to look and see what can Al Harris be. Because Al Harris is the only guy with real long-term head coaching prospects on the staff right now. And so if you wanted to see and investigate it, you could name him as head coach for the remainder of the season. Just to see. Let's see what it looks like.
I just don't believe this team is like a spark away from anything meaningful. You know? I've had my new coach theory forever. When the new coach comes in, all of a sudden you go on this little mini run. I think we're going to get there where this team is dead and totally waving the white flag like Trayvon Diggs all game long. I don't think this is some great underachieving group.
You think Diggs would have enough energy to even wave a flag?
That's right. You weird for that. Ray in Grand Prairie, you're up next here on the Home of the Cowboys. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, how y'all guys doing today, man?
What's up?
That was pathetic. Sad. Oh, man. And you're right. I mean, you're right. If we let go of McCarthy, who do we go get? There's really no one in the middle of the season that we can go get that would bring this team to go.
You'd have to promote. You'd have to promote. And, like, besides, fine, Al Harris, there's no obvious promotion for me.
And that was kind of like with Dak. Okay, we let Dak walk. Who are we going to go get? Who's going to take, you know, the Cowboys to go to, you know, on a season, you know, Super Bowl run. No one else, no other quarterback was going to do that. But so that's why we kind of forced to keep Dak and paying that money.
Well, look, and I don't want to rehash this whole thing about Dak, but that's living scared. Now, let me be clear. I'm in the living scared camp of quarterbacks in the National Football League. Everyone keeps asking, yesterday, my guy Jeremy and my father-in-law, why do they pay him? Guys, they did not pay Dak Prescott that money because they believe he's a $60 million quarterback. They paid Dak Prescott that money because of the fear of the unknown. Okay? Let me say it again. They don't believe he's $60 million worth franchise quarterback money. They believe he's a great leader. They believe he's good. He can have tremendous flashes. He did finish second in the MVP. It's the fear of the unknown. I give extra respect to the Kansas City Chiefs and Andy Reid for having the balls to go ahead and move away from Alex Smith. We're going to go find our next guy. We know deep down, this is not the answer. And Brian Broaddus has said for years, Jerry Jones has that ultimate card to play. He can do it.
He does.
He can do it and not have any repercussions of firing himself. But the ultimate stones move, it's like leaving your job, right? Like, you may have thoughts in the back of your mind after 20 years of doing the same thing. I do have respect for people who are like, who've gotten out of radio. I do have respect. I don't have the same guts to do it and go do the own podcast and I'm just going to live off of that. But I have respect those people that do. It's a ballsy move. And that's what moving off a Dak Prescott type quarterback is in the National Football League.
Well,
you can go into purgatory.
But
and you probably will go into purgatory.
Here's the thing. Quarterback purgatory is not doing what Kansas City did or anything. Quarterback purgatory is what you're in when you have a quarterback that's good. But to me, quarterback purgatory is having the 6th to 15th best quarterback.
Okay, but there's worse than purgatory.
I mean, there's hell.
Yeah, there's
hell. You go to quarterback, or, now, you could say they're in quarterback hell.
Yeah.
Because you're good enough to not be bad enough. But
Not this year.
But look, I mean, paying Dak $60 million, is he worth it? No. I mean, Trevor Lawrence isn't worth his money,
right.
But yeah, you
I don't want to be the Chicago. I don't want to be the Chicago Bears.
I mean, until
Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So
I don't want to be.
It sounds like what you're describing, Sean, is you feel like the Cowboys are more like the lady who woke up and she's 39 and she's like, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten married yet, and I'm with this guy and I don't love him, but like, he's safe. You know what? Let's just I don't want to be single lady forever.
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. Pepe, let's fire up the Odyssey app with the Tolos who left messages.
Yeah, and you guys guessed it right. The Tolos are very upset and frustrated after this loss. So we started off here with Jim and McKinney on the Odyssey app sharing his thoughts of the Cowboys 47-9 loss to the Lions.
Hey, I'm just telling you that Dak needs just to sit down. He is awful in his game. He was throwing to nobody. I'm thinking the starter quarterback should be Cooper Rush. I know it was just a little bit on him on the field, but he looks good. it's just like these guys that get their money, get their bag, they're just terrible. CD was terrible. Dak was terrible. The defense was definitely terrible.
So look, with these types of Mondays, I have a hard time separating Dak from like just the whole team sucking. When they lost against the Packers in the playoffs, I did not come in here and go, Dak Prescott. That was everyone flat out even blame.
Whole team.
Even blame. And when it comes to yesterday, we may have to rank these. We may have to rank the blame for yesterday. I'm not putting Dak Prescott. No, he wasn't good. He was not good. I'm not going to make any excuses for him whatsoever. I will make a partial excuse. The amount of pressure they have to score every drive now, that has to affect you to some degree. That has to. That pick he threw in the sun, the overthrow, at that point in the game in my notes, I'm like, okay, like I'm not going to blast him. Like he's trying to make a play. They're getting worked. They're getting destroyed. That is starting to creep over to the first half now of having to score and play keep up because Mike Zimmer's defense is so wretched. So maybe we will do. Yeah. We'll order the blame maybe at 8 o'clock.
I mean, it's hard to get any blame beyond tackling. Like desire, like because that's what tackling is. Tackling is a lot of
I haven't heard one person talk about the offensive line either. He got battered. He got battered yesterday.
That's what McCarthy pointed to post game. McCarthy was more on the offensive. He's like, yeah, Dak's got to be better, but he was like, Dak was throwing from his heels the entire game.
It's tough to do anything when you don't win the trenches. It really is tough to win the football game.
He was pressured on 9 of 15 dropbacks. It ended up being 16 pressures, 4 sacks, and 2 takeaways. Back to the Odyssey app, Peyton.
Next up, we have Willie in Dallas on the Odyssey app.
When y'all gonna grow some
whoa,
balls?
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Willie!
Willie! Whoa! Willie-nilly!
That is not Will Chambers.
Oh, he's talking about balls, too.
When y'all gonna grow some balls and tell Jerry, say the fans been watching him for 30 years. He hasn't done nothing. He needs to fire himself. He couldn't build a defense if somebody fucking gave him Pro Bowlers. Listen, y'all, every day, somebody needs to tell him he sucks as a GM.
I think he dropped the F-bomb.
I think he did.
I think it was very famous.
It was very famous. But it still was there.
The Willie could be cussing on the Oscar.
I do believe Willie's a smoker.
I'm not falling for that today, though. The real questions, got them out. Real questions.
I'm not falling
for it.
Like somebody needs to tell Jerry he's not a good GM. You think Jerry has literally never heard that? I think Jerry's been listening to that for 30 years, and that's part of why he is driven the way he is to like, it's got to be my way.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I got to show them that they're wrong.
The more we say that he's not the right GM, the stronger his resolve to maintain.
You want him to bringing up to him what
Jerry,
a bad
I think you're the best GM in the world. I think you should, like, I think you're so good.
Yeah.
You should like actually let somebody else do this just so they can show that they're not as good as you.
Yeah, reverse it.
Oh, psychology.
Jimmy Johnson rode his coattails.
Yeah.
That's right. Let's do it. They should put you in the Ring of Honor twice.
Jimmy should have inducted Jerry into the Ring of Honor.
We really messed up. We kept asking him when he's going to put Jimmy in. We should have just said you're smart for not putting Jimmy in because you were the guy.
Yeah, Arthur Blank, man.
We were dumb.
Why'd you let Arthur Blank put himself in before you did that here? Come on, man. 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line. That's the way to hit us up. More phone calls, more Odyssey app messages here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. What the greatest of all time had to say about your football team. Hey, can we get to the disrespect? Can we get to the Detroit disrespect of them stealing bases up 12 runs on us yesterday? That's next on the commercial-free expressway. And we have a giveaway, don't we? We have a big-time giveaway this week for the Tolos. We're going to hook you up with it right after this.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
At the 49, there's a double reverse flea flicker. Goff going to throw it deep to the right side, caught by LaPorta. running away to the 15, to the 10, 5, diving in for the touchdown.
Brad Shan with the call. This is the Commercial Free Expressway with a brand new Tolo giveaway today and all week long to try to cheer you up a little bit here on Sean, RJ, and Bobby. We got Peyton and Caitlin in the back live on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube. 877-881-1053 in order to unleash on the phone lines, the fan text, and we still have some messages to get to on the Odyssey app. Can we talk about the disrespect? Was anyone asked, was McCarthy or Jerry asked in the post game about Dan Campbell running it up with these trick plays?
I did not hear that question get asked of Jerry. I'm not sure about McCarthy, but I don't believe so. I listened to all but the last couple questions of McCarthy. I don't think he got asked about it.
But we have to ask that tomorrow at 8:30.
I did ask Jerry about quit, and he did mention he referred to Detroit having fun. He said, you know, when you see Detroit over there having fun and all the fun that they're having, yeah, then by comparison, on your side, a lot of that's going to look like a lot of different adjectives.
Well, we were told by all of our insiders last week, that's why we try to go out and book them to give the insight on the other side. We were told over and over, we even passed it along to McCarthy, that Dan Campbell was going to be out for revenge and he was going to try to get an offensive lineman a touchdown in any way possible. Well, he did. Over. And over.
Yeah.
And over. And over again. They tried throwing the touchdown pass to Taylor Decker. They ran a hook and ladder to Penei Sewell, the tackle. They let Dan Skipper run routes as a receiver. You heard right there the flea flicker to Laporta. And on their first play, Dan Campbell was not screwing around. He threw shade at the officials by subbing in and pulling the Dan Skipper eligible on a 5-yard run by David Montgomery. Yeah. Are we ticked? Are we disrespected? Or do you just have to shut up and take it? What did you think of Dan Campbell being all types of petty?
So, I don't know Dan's, like, so obviously he was here.
Like, I was also thinking for a split second during the McCarthy-Dan Campbell handshake at midfield, which, like a loser, I stuck around to watch. I was like, yeah. I half expect McCarthy to say something here. I expect this to get uncomfortable. Like, yo, man, that's Bush League. You're stealing bases up 12 on us. That's BS. You're throwing alley. You're shooting with 20 seconds left on the shot clock up 25. Go ahead.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, Detroit, a couple of things. I don't know if Dan Campbell has any animosity here because he was here as a player. I have no idea. I don't think there is, but I have no idea. Last year's game, I mean, there's no doubt about it. What happened in last year's game at the end, this was their Super Bowl. Like, it would not surprise me if they lose, like, 3 straight after this just because, like, they put all their eggs into this game. No, they won't, but they got Minnesota next week on the road. It would not surprise me. But
when you say it, that even bugs me, like, a tiny bit. I know what you're saying. I don't totally disagree. Having the Cowboys as their Super Bowl, that bugs me because it's like giving too much credit to Dallas.
Yeah, I think it's just about last year. Yeah. And I don't think it has anything to do with Dallas this year. I just think it's about last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've run all those plays before. That flea flicker, they ran last year. And San Francisco ran it like later that day in the Sunday night game. And then that hook and ladder, they ran that 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Now, they didn't run it to a lineman. They ran it to, I think, like Gibbs or Montgomery, something like that. But they ran that, and they love doing the offensive line thing. Was this them being disrespectful? Yeah, I mean, it was disrespectful, but it was also like, hey, you know what? This isn't a trick play because we know you can't stop it. We know you can't stop this thing, and that's the sad part about it.
Two things. To the question of Dan Campbell and any animosity here, I don't know that he has animosity. I had heard he was a little, I don't know if offended is the word. I'll use that word because I don't know the better one. He was a little offended that, like, he didn't even get an interview here when they hired McCarthy. Because he felt like, man, I had coached under Sean Payton. I had good relationships with the organization. Good relationship with Jerry. I was one of these up-and-comers. His name had been floated. And then when he didn't even get a call to interview, I think it sounded like he was a little kind of taken aback by, okay, all right, fine.
Apparently the players loved him in New Orleans. And then he was the interim in Miami. I don't remember who was the one that got like that got fired, but he was the interim coach of Miami. They did pretty well.
Sperano.
It was a Sperano. And they did because he was a part, he had Parcells guy all over him.
Yeah.
And he was the interim there.
I will say that that's one aspect of it. Second, I think the petty is Ben Johnson too. I think Ben Johnson, as the play designer, was annoyed that he didn't get it because he was the one who looked most ticked off when they called the Penei Sewell one back, where he was just like pissed because I think he's supposed to be the genius that's designed. So if it's like said, that's not legal, you guys didn't execute it, he's the one that almost seemed like petty towards the officials. Like, I'm going to get really elaborate. Like, his almost seemed like a war with them.
I'm not mad at them, though. Sometimes in these instances, I'm like, screw you, I hate you even more. I don't have that hatred towards them for it, even though it was way, way, way over the top.
Yeah.
Part of me respects them, like, oh my gosh, you have the guts to put this target on your back if and when you guys meet again down the road.
Right. Yeah. Like the moment if you're still running trick plays when the backups are in, that's like, you know,
this was still disrespectful. It was really disrespectful.
There was like, what, 12 minutes in the fourth? That was the last one.
Deion gets to dance. Terrell Owens gets to go to the star, like, if you can't keep him out of the end zone. So, like, similarly, like, if you're not going to stop him, then okay.
I agree.
Like
run it up. I'm always excited with that. The Texas OU stuff, the Baker May, that's what sports is about. All right? All this Sarkisian's going to the podium with a corny dog and putting in Venables. That's what sports is. Not, you know, people get all soft, and Tolo Chris is always reporting to us on Twitch when people are like, oh my God, Sean Bobby, stop fighting. Hey man, that's trash talk. It's busting balls. These guys are at the highest level of competition, and I'm a fan of Petty. You know I'm a fan of Petty. And Dan Campbell is like, screw you, screw everybody. We're going to light this place on fire. We're going to burn this whole building down. And they did. I mean, I'm trying to think of the last. I think you have to go back to Belichick to get to these levels of disrespect. Like, I'm sure he did some stuff against the Jets or inside AFC. I'm trying to think of the most disrespectful game that you can think. I don't care what sport it is. Y'all tell me on the fan text, 877-881-0053, what ranks up here in terms of disrespect that you can remember? I'll talk about three different things.
It's Patriot level. It's Patriot level. They did this to the Colts after Indy when they turned them in. So when I don't remember who the coach of Indy was at the time.
Caldwell?
No, this was after that. This was like in Andrew Luck's time where they turned them in for Deflategate. The next time they played, you knew they were just going to run the score up.
I can't remember specifics of it, but Harbaugh did something early in San Francisco to Seattle because he and Pete Carroll hated each other. And I can't remember, but there was some issue because that was
there's a difference in running the score up and doing what they did. With offensive linemen at receiver and hook and laterals. And they didn't try it once. They tried it three times. I'm not even counting the flea flicker. I'm talking about all the offensive line shenanigans. That is disrespectful and kind of funny.
Yeah, because they don't respect you. Detroit does not respect Dallas. They lost that game last year and felt like there's zero chance that we should have lost that game. That should have been ours. We got cheated out of it. They feel like this should have been Dallas's fifth loss in a row at home, not their fourth, because we should have won that game.
If you want the Joneses to suffer, it's funny.
Yeah.
If you want them to suffer and Jerry's 82nd birthday yesterday to get ruined, it's funny. So there you go. Jerry Jones tomorrow live at 8:30. 877-881-1053 in order to hit us up on DFW Sports Station. Let's get to B. Rich and Wiley. B. Rich, you're next up here on The Fan.
Hello, Sean, RJ, and Peyton. I'm sorry, and Bobby.
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, quick question for you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Does it take a Cowboys blowout loss to get to work on time?
Yeah, I mean, I was first one here today.
He was first one here today.
I forgot to text Bobby this morning. He texted me.
He texted at 4:52
about the commercial logs, and I was like, "Oh, he's ready to go."
See, that's how petty I am. I wake up now, and because you started texting me, I've started texting you like, "Hey, everybody up? Like, y'all get to work on time."
That's right. Go ahead, B.
Right. Well, I mean, Bobby, surround yourself with good people. Sean, you're great for doing that. I got one star up and star down real quick. Like you said before in the segment, it's star down is it's not the players for me. Cowboys fans need to stop bashing them. It was the coaching. When Mike McCarthy tries to be as aggressive as Campbell to go for it in the second quarter on your own 50, you're doing too much. You need to punt the ball. They're lucky we got Aubrey. Obviously, only 9 points.
That wasn't trickery, B. That was desperation.
Yeah. Yes. It was the second quarter, if I'm correct.
It was early second quarter, down 20-3. They were on their 38. It was 4th-and-2.
I know, analytics say punt, and let's let our defense do work. We didn't give a chance. But other than that, you can't match the other coach on the other side. You saw how aggressive he was with the trickery, which is kind of embarrassing for us because he knew what he was doing. But I don't want to get too far into it. Don't want to waste any of y'all's time. But I want to say my star up, Sean, I did send you a message. My Brinley girl, my daughter, is on the rookie squad for the Cowboys on Rhythm and Blue. I just want to let her know that I'm very proud of you. The Jerry's going to get my money is to watch you. It's very expensive, and it hurts. It's like, you know, longtime Cowboy fan, but it is expensive, and I can't do it. But Brinley, I love you, and Caitlin, thank you so much for being that dance mom. But I love you guys. Let's have a good one.
Awesome. Congrats to the family. Brinley, congratulations.
All right, so that 4th-and-2.
His voice did crack when he said it hurts, too.
He did.
I felt that financial pain.
So that 4th-and-2,
yep,
from their 38. There was 2:39 to go in the second. All right. They had a 61% chance of converting, so it is a strong go for it. It's a strong go for it. But listen to this.
Oh, it was later in the second, not early.
Right.
All right. I wrote early desperation.
It was early desperation, but it was 2:39 to go. If they succeeded, it would have brought their win probability in the game to 6%. That's how low of a win probability they had at that point.
Yeah.
That's why they had to do it.
Cut it in half, though. Failing took it to 3%.
Failing took it to 3.
Now, the problem, though, there is that, and this is the problem with all these fourth down bots and everything else, it doesn't factor in the fact that, like, Dallas just isn't good. I don't trust Dallas to get 4th-and-2.
Yeah, this is an average across the league. That's what that is.
Let's get to Cameron in Dallas. Cameron, you're next up on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Cam.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys?
We're okay.
Good, good. Man, I don't want to take up too much of your time. Long time solo, first time caller. I definitely want to say that being 25, living in the Metroplex, we've always been constantly let down over the years. And, I mean, last night's showing really wasn't anything that we're not used to. The big E word for the week is going to be embarrassment. I think to piggyback on the last caller is truly trying to understand where we've come from as a team. I mean, we used to be a powerhouse team in the 90s, but over the years, we've just had a detrimental downfall, and I can't really agree to be and constantly continue to be a representation of what the Cowboys should be, but I'm glad to see what you guys are doing, constantly bringing good content to the Metroplex, and man, I'm at a loss of words on the Dallas Cowboys right now.
Thank you for the call, brother. We appreciate you listening. You are appreciated. Let's hear from our head coach, Mike McCarthy. How do you explain this one?
I think clearly, you know, number one, we were beaten today. They're a very good team. I think, you know, the facts are they're further ahead of us right now at this time in week six. You know, we have a lot of moving parts. But I think just staying to the obvious facts, I mean, you know, we're not taking care of the ball. We're not taking it away. I mean, that's A number one on the list of basics as far as how we train, where we put our time. And so we got to start there. I didn't do a very good job today as far as, you know, some of the answers that our guys needed. We needed to, you know, score points coming into it was the mindset, part of taking the ball and getting out there starting fast. But, you know, red zone and third down was a huge issue again today. Well, obviously, you know, it was going to be an emphasis for us as a staff anyways on the bye week. So we got to be better there situationally. But, you know, I think it's like any game. It starts up front. They won the battle at the line of scrimmage. Clearly won the turnover ratio battle. You're not going to beat anybody with those kind of numbers.
I have a star down for Mike. And we have to ask Jerry about this tomorrow at 8:30. And I'm going to give props to Angel414 on Twitter who wrote this to me. And I had to go look this up again this morning, and it is confirmed. What kills me is Rico ran awesome last week. Zeke says something, and no more Rico. 5 versus 2 carries is the current workload in the game. And it was 5 carries for Zeke. 2 for Rico. It ended up 8-5. Obviously, they're getting destroyed. Zach Wolchuk did a nice job, though, of, I think there were, It was 10-3. I think the Cowboys had run 21 offensive plays, and they ran six times. What the F is Zeke getting more carries for? It would lead you to believe that Zeke's conversation with the coaching staff or Jerry or whoever it was behind the scenes last week affected the workload after Rico Dowdle's best football game of the season. Someone please help me understand that. Please. Because that is ridiculous.
But does it surprise you?
I'm dumb.
But like, because I mean,
it does surprise me. You know why? Because they buried Zeke and all the Hallmark reuniting stories at the beginning of the year. You bring Zeke back. All right, you're going to start him. First carry of the season. They had already buried him. He was already dead and gone.
He played 10 snaps more than Dowdle yesterday.
Why? Because of their meeting? Because of their talk? You totally disregard the tape? You all of a sudden now want to get in your feels and let Zeke influence who's going to touch the football after Rico just did that against the Giants? What are we doing here?
I really do have a feeling that it was, we know that they were, you know, Detroit's got a really good pass rush. I really do think that it was like he's just better in pass protection, and that's why.
Zeke carried the ball more. It was 8-5, but like Dowdle did have more touches yesterday. So he had 5 carries, and then he was targeted 6 times, had 5 catches. They didn't even throw the ball to Zeke. So I'm saying in terms of the way they were trying to get him involved, Dowdle did touch the ball more, but you can't.
Can you get the snap count for both too?
Yeah, it was 10. It was 10 more for Zeke.
10 more for Zeke.
Yeah, Zeke had 10 more snaps than him.
You agree with Choppy with the pass pro explanation?
That's probably it, but
because they don't put the guy in just to run. I mean, they're putting him in because of the situation.
What was the pressure percentage?
47%.
Put that in perspective.
It's the most that Dak's been pressured all this season. It was the second highest rate of the week.
So half his dropbacks.
Yeah, half his dropbacks he was pressured on.
Second highest rate in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, for this past week.
So that would play more towards pass pro.
Because you're right. I mean, if he's in there if they were just using him, hey, look, which running back do we want to put in here? That's a bad look if it's Zeke. But if you're talking about pass protection, you know, then that's, I know that Zeke would, you know, kind of went downhill a little bit in his pass protection at the end here. I have no idea how he is compared to Dowdle.
Is Zeke by far a better pass protection? How is Rico in pass protection?
Fine, but I mean, it's not special. But I mean, that's the thing. Zeke isn't special in that regard either. For reference, you remember the Texans game against the Bears where we were talking about Caleb Williams has no time to throw? Like where it was just in week two, it was like, oh my gosh, he's running for his life. It was the exact same pressure rate for Caleb Williams in that game that Dak had yesterday.
877-881-1053. Let's fire off one more on the Odyssey app, and then we're going to talk about the coach in the NFC. I think McCarthy's done eventually. I know this other guy is done. We'll get to that after another Odyssey app message from the Tolos.
Yeah, next up on the Odyssey app, we have Ricardo in New Jersey, East Coast, on the Odyssey app.
I'm just calling to say, man, that honestly, this is ridiculous what's going on. You know, day in and day out, just trying to follow the Cowboys and dealing with this headache. As a fan, this distant, you know, and dealing with New York fans nearby and whatnot, it's just ridiculous having to see a team like ours that last year was so talented and just lack motivation, lack true leadership. There's not one leader in the entire organization. I don't care what anyone says. Dak is not a leader. I don't care what anyone says. Micah, he can try. He's not a real leader. These guys, they need to just honestly start from the beginning again. I know it's too late. We gave Dak the contract. We gave CeeDee the contract. At this point, I'm okay with trading Micah, seeing what we can get from him, and just, you know, you just starts from scratch. This is ridiculous, honestly.
I don't hate the last thing he said
about trading Micah.
Yeah, you need capital. Like, you need cheap capital moving forward.
I mean, they can't afford it. Again, you're going to have $120 million tied up into three guys.
We'll do that topic this week. We'll do that topic this week, along with an off-season time machine tomorrow, as Jerry Jones will also join us live at 8:30. We have a brand new giveaway, Lincoln Park tickets today and throughout the entire week coming up.
Isn't he 8 tomorrow? We've got a time shift on Jerry.
I don't know. I'm confused. Tim, go ahead and write it back to me. He might be 8 o'clock tomorrow. Let's talk about misery loves company. Let's talk about it somewhere else.
Hurts again in the gun. He's back. He's looking. He fires. Wide open. Smith. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Devontae Smith.
Hello.
Yes, they won on Eagles Radio, but Nick Sirianni is finished in Philadelphia after what he did yesterday. Eagles survive the Cleveland Browns 20-16. And look, if you're in that group of Cowboy fans who were rooting for the implosion and for them to get destroyed, at what point do you not root for Philly to win? At what point do you not care that the Eagles win to separate in the division? Because the closer you are in the division and a wild card, the longer that, you know, the Joneses can keep going ahead and doing their thing, and the lesser chance there is for actual real change. But this was an ugly game. A.J. Brown did return, and you could make the argument he was their MVP. He was absolutely huge for them. They were tied in the fourth. What was the Deshaun Watson third down stat as Derek Holland is trying to troll us this
20%, morning? 20%, 18.2% in the year.
Third down conversion rate. There was a stretch. He had failed to convert 17 straight third downs for the Browns. Over a two-game span. 17 straight.
Well, the story of this game is Nick Sirianni going over and chirping Eagles fans who had been booing throughout. He went over there and put on his smirky smug and started giving it to the crowd, like, hey, where are you at now? Where are you at now? And afterwards, he said, I'm just excited to get the win. We thrive off the crowd when they cheer for us. That's all I'll say. We hear them when they boo. We don't necessarily like it. I don't think that's productive for anybody. But when they cheer for us and when we've got them rolling, we love it. Now, Sirianni had been told by the owner, tone it down a little bit in the offseason. Jeffrey Lurie said it can be a little bit counterproductive if he overdoes his own passion. You got to find that sweet spot. So Sirianni goes over to the Eagle crowd. He said, I was having fun. And I kind of got some, you know what? My players asked me to be old Nick. Jalen Hurts, one of them. They said, Nick, we need your energy. We need your focus. I've gotten that from a couple players. When I'm operating and having fun, I think that breathes to the rest of the football team. If I want the guys to celebrate and be themselves after big plays, then I should probably do that myself, right? Is this a death wish in Philly to do what he did yesterday?
Yes and no. It's a death wish if they continue to be like, hey, we're going to win a game here, then lose the game, right? If they go on a little bit of a run, Philly fans will love it because they literally will eat that up. Hurts had a pretty decent game, and they still couldn't put up points, and they still barely won.
And that leads to this audio clip. Nick Sirianni not only got hype with the fans, he got hype with the media with his kids at the podium.
Because y'all are making a big deal about it. I mean, it's like, guys, we're going to figure it out. We're going to fix it. We've known how to score in the past. Like, we get it. You guys have a job to do, and you're going to fixate on one thing, and you're going to be like, oh, they haven't started fast, or they haven't turned the ball over. Like, we got it. Like, we're going to do everything we can do to fix it. Like, and I don't want that to be in their heads. That's why I'm basically telling you guys, all right, we got it. We'll figure it out. And so sometimes you get things in your head, and you continue, and it kind of, you know, works there, but like the defense started their ass off. It was 10. It was 10-0 to start the football game off, and the defense didn't let up a play. And so they played their ass off. So they started fast, right? And we'll get it figured out on offense. We will get it figured out on offense. Do you think that was funny?
All right. So much here. So much here. Bobby looks physically ill. Guys, why are you here at the? Well, I told you, we got it. We're gonna figure it out. We got it. We're 18th in points scored. We're averaging 21 a game. We're good. Don't worry about what happened at the end of last year with my name on the hot seat and the Belichick rumors. Stop asking me. What's wrong with you? We got it. We're fine.
This was such. The thing is, any functioning adult. This was such an easy. And I like Nick. This is
one of your all time misses.
Oh, this is a hit.
This is one of your all time bad takes. You nailed Daboll, but this is one of your all time bad.
He went to a
takes.
Super Bowl. He's actually a good head coach, like Daboll. But he is. He's a douche. There's
he's
no
a
doubt
douchebag.
But like this was such an easy thing to say. All he had to say instead of like the I got it is look, guys, we had a blocked field goal. It was 52 yards. It's not like it was a 70-yard field goal that had to be on a line drive. All we had to do was make that field goal, and the score is now 23-9 as opposed to 20-6. That's the final, as opposed to 2016. 23-9 looks really good. 20-16, that's all he had to say. Like, if he had just said that, look, we had a blocked field goal. There's your one-score game versus you add on the field. That's a 10-point swing. That's all he had to say. Instead, he goes into the, guys, we got this.
We got this. Forget about what he said to the media. Forget about chirping at the fans. By far, in my opinion, by far the worst thing he did yesterday, and this will be his ultimate undoing.
Shaving his head.
John Kincaid from Philly tweeted that Sirianni, play the very end of that, Pepe. Sirianni, when he's talking about the offense.
Right? And we'll get it figured out on offense. We will get it figured out on offense. Do you think that was funny?
Save that as a drop.
Don't worry. Don't talk to his kid.
He's talking to his kid. John Kincaid, our boy from Philly, said he's been bringing his children up at the podium.
You think that was funny?
What are you doing? You're so... What a soft move. I'm going to use my children as a media shield here that you don't come at me as hard as you normally do, and you're going to have your kids up. Then he goes on this two-minute soliloquy of just how much football matters to me, his little cry fest that he practiced, his little dramatic reading in order to get sympathy. I don't think Philly fans appreciate that. I don't think it's going to work, and that is a sign of softness that I don't think that city is going to take. He's done. You can have McCarthy, you can have Peterson, you can have Sirianni. I'd probably go Peterson and then a toss-up between Mike and Sirianni for who's gone next. Nick Sirianni will not coach there next year, I don't believe. Although, I will say this, the schedule really softens up. It softens up for them with the next three. They're at the Giants, they're at Cincy, who's not good. Look at that horrific game last night. And then they got Jacksonville at home. So they got Giants, Bengals, Jacksonville. At worst, you're 2-1 after that. Bobby, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and if you look at the fact that when they have...
When's the last time an NFL coach has done that consistently, taking their kids up there?
You can't count
a Super Bowl.
The only person I can think of that did that consistently was Steph Curry. And that's because his daughter... And that was, they were winning titles and there was zero pressure. And it was just like, yeah, she's funny and people think she's funny. They've missed Lane Johnson, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown at different points. When Lane Johnson's played, when Devontae Smith has played, they're 3-1 this year. And the one loss was Atlanta, which a lot of people felt like, man, they kind of fumbled that one away. They should have won that one. But Ben Volen from the Boston Globe, he wrote, such a Bush League move by Sirianni to bring his kid to the podium while he's under fire for bad play and acting like a maniac on the sideline.
Yes.
Kids are not human shields. And this is, I thought there was going to be a little pushback. When I saw Kincaid's tweet, I was like, ooh, I wonder if some people are going to be like, leave his kids alone, blah, blah. No, it's pretty universal.
It's not attacking his kids.
No, I know, but I was anticipating that was going to be, we were going to see that reply, just because it's one of those things where whenever you're addressing kids or anything else,
what it can be slimy touchy. Move.
It's
slimy,
awful.
Soft yeah, move.
Can't, you can't, there's, the NFL should have a rule, you can't have your kids up as a, if you're the coach. Player wants to do it, whatever, man.
Opening presser.
Yeah,
you're introduced.
Fine.
You go to the Super Bowl, NFC title game, win the Super Bowl, whatever, fine. He's doing that on purpose. He is doing that on purpose to try to soften the boat as a shield.
It's a shield.
That's slimy. I hate him.
Man, you're using your kids as a shield. I got a problem with that.
I don't know if he, forget just head coaching job, I don't know if he gets another job after this.
As a coordinator?
His reputation is really damaged.
Philly is also like, he fits the city, right? He's got that boisterous, trash talk.
I don't think he does.
But he fits the, not necessarily like everything
the
about
emotion.
Him, but the emotion. He's an emotional person.
Yeah.
And that fits the city. I don't know if he.
Like, Philly would be obsessed with Dan Campbell.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, like, certain coaches play in certain markets. Like, Mike is perfect for the upper Midwest.
You know what doesn't play, though, to Philly fans is yelling at Philly fans and essentially blaming them and taking no responsibility. That's what's not going to play.
I will say this for him, and I heard this from Andrew Perloff driving in, because he's a Philly fan. If you're going to go down, at least go down your way. And Sirianni has been trying to button up and let Big Dom take all the credit, the real leader of the football team. If you're going to go down, at least go down your way. And he said, I'm going to go back to being Nick.
He claimed in the press conference yesterday that he overrode Fangio and was making defensive calls at times yesterday.
I thought he just said that like the week before with Kellen.
He said it about Kellen, but now he's saying it about defensive calls even. A lot of people think he's just lying and he's Mr. Any bad play, it's on me. Mm-hmm. And he's just trying to seem so above it all. But
he's just not professional
enough.
He's
claiming that he's now making calls in place of Fangio even.
He's just too unprofessional. He's done. He is done.
He was at Indy? He was the OC at Indy? Is that where he was?
No, yeah, that
his mentor was Frank Reich. And Frank Reich has been driven out of the league.
877-881-1053. Is there an order of blame for what happened yesterday? Yesterday against the Lions. Your 1-2-3 Cowboy blame next on Sean and RJ.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app